right now on VFN TV. We're continuing our amazing, amazing interview with Dr. Russ Moyer of Eagle Worldwide Ministries. It's so encouraging, so many inspiring things. As a matter of fact, let's join in now on that interview.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I have some wonderful people that speak into my life and that walk with me, and in different seasons. And Jane Louder, who, you know, we were talking about Ruth Heflin earlier and the great impact that she had during that year. But I've been walking with Calvary Campground now for 20 years. And a woman by the name of Jane Louder, Sister Jane, took over after Ruth went to be with the Lord. And she has had much more of an impact on my life than Ruth ever did. It's that walking and working and sharing. She's a humble and caring person. She was the daughter of a sharecropper. She speaks into my life. She's a phenomenal prophetic voice and great wisdom. And John Kelly is another man that has really had an impact on me as far as mentoring me in the apostolic. He is the convening apostle for the International Coalition of Apostolic Leaders. Him and Peter Wagner in 2004.
Oh, Peter Wagner,
Peter Wagner was a wonderful man of God. They commissioned me apostolically in Canada, and it was a traumatic change. I think it was like 2004, and that's when I began to birth and build churches and came to the apostolic revelation. And because I had only seen just one style of church, you know, so, you know, in that
it was a big difference, because once you start moving apostolic, it's everything.
Everything.
It's in every mountain. You're moving everywhere, and kingdom is everywhere, right?
It is. And that's what we have to do, is get that kingdom thinking. And, you know, sometimes we look out the keyhole of our little place, our city, our church, our thing. I mean, Jesus came preaching kingdom. He didn't come preaching church.
He sure didn't.
He came preaching kingdom.
He set the church.
He set the church in place, and Paul gave us the structure and everything through the power of the Holy Spirit, how to establish it, how to walk and work in the gifts, how to work in relationship, how to equip and empower others. But Jesus came declaring the kingdom, and he is about kingdom. We need to be more kingdom-minded today. And the same thing with the
kingdom
barriers.
Will be preached to all. And then the end will come. So if we preach church, he didn't even preach salvation. He preached the kingdom. And to know him and to follow him and believe him and make him the Lord of your life. And then you're saved. And the kingdom, seek ye first, not the church organization, but seek the kingdom of God. And then everything becomes added to you. Kingdom, kingdom, kingdom.
As we begin to network together with kingdom people with a kingdom mindset,
it's exciting, isn't
these
it?
Barriers are going to come down that man has put up. And that's what has to happen in this hour in order for us to come to a place of true unity. The barriers, racial barriers, gender barriers, financial barriers, denominational barriers have to begin to melt. And they're going to melt, and they're going to come down as the kingdom of God begins to be made manifest through the hearts of his people. That kingdom mindset is going to bring down the barriers that bring us to a place of true unity. I'm walking with three or four ecumenical organizations now where I'm dealing with very traditional denominational people, and their hearts are open. I just did the 225th anniversary for the Presbyterian Church in Canada. And they were dressed in their kilts and everything, like the Canadian Old Guard and all of that. Big, beautiful building, and the old-fashioned stall type things. And they received me in a kingdom way.
Beautiful.
So wonderful in who I am and who they were. And We were brothers and sisters in the Lord, and they got a chance to see something completely different.
Wow.
And I got a chance to see how God brings them. I was, you know, the different cultures and traditions. I was just up in New Arctic. Mm-hmm. I just spent, the last 8 days or so in New Arctic. And I was doing 3 or 4 day meetings up there.
Right.
It's an exciting time. And the Inuit.
That's with Eskimo people, right?
They're Inuits. They're Eskimos. What we learned about Eskimos.
Right.
They're the Inuit. They have their own culture. They have their own language.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. They're so beautiful. It's cold, but they have warm hearts.
Wow.
And I've had a chance to, I've probably been up there 20 or more times, and we've sent teams up. Mm. They are an awesome people.
Right.
And they're going after God. The last 50 years, no people group has advanced more than they had.
Wow.
50, 55 years ago, they were living out on the land.
Right.
Now, they are self-governing, self-running, and just all kinds of things.
The kingdom of God.
Kingdom. Wow. And they're all about kingdom. They're wonderful.
One of the biggest frustrations I know of Ken Summerall, who's with the Lord right now, was spiritual father to me in the Lord, is that, you know, he was moving apostolically, kind of ahead of the times that, you know, in our season with the Father's heart. And he taught me a lot about, you know, walking in that. But his frustration was, and you can see it today, is where when you talk kingdom, you really have many kingdoms going on. And so, you know, his frustration was, is that people wouldn't stop building their kingdom enough to come together for the kingdom of God. And sometimes we can confuse or not even think about kingdom, especially if you're building church and building some network versus it's the kingdom you're advancing that, you know, it doesn't need walls. And so his frustration was men would go back to building their kingdom again, even though they got stirred for a while. Does that make sense? When revival started in Brownsville Assembly of God, pastors came from all the region close by. But that question came up all of a sudden. If I stay here too long, I won't have that there. And it's like, you know, it's just like, what do you do with that?
Of the things that you can do and that I've tried to do, mm-hmm. I hope I've done it successfully, is I certainly focus on the vision that God gave me for Eagle Worldwide Ministries that I pioneered and the churches.
Right.
And, you know, we have a network of ministries and all of those things that you were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. And I focus because I know that's the vision of God and I have to be faithful to that vision.
Right.
But at the same time, I have to get myself out of that. And whether I'm pastoring a local church in that or just keep myself contained in Eagle Worldwide. I mean, I'm on the board of outside churches, maybe 7 outside churches. I'm involved with the International Coalition of Apostolic Leaders, Prophetic Leaders. And you have to get outside of your own little, and you have to force yourself to do it.
Right.
Because the vision that God gives you is it begins to enlarge and fulfill in your midst. Mm-hmm. It'd be all consuming.
Yes.
And the next thing you know, you find yourself, you're just in a bigger bubble.
Yeah.
You got to keep fighting your way out of that to see what God's doing all around the world. You know, we look here in Pensacola, and it's a great place and a great gateway to the nations of the world and a spiritual gateway, one of the 12 spiritual gateways that I think God has established all over the earth to bring through the new.
Right.
So we can get consumed here in the city, or we can see how bad things are going in either a local church or in the country, in America. God's moving all over the earth.
All over the earth.
I just had a group of Iranians, Iranian churches that I met with in Toronto. And they were former Muslims that have come to Christ, and some were still Muslims that were in the room.
Right.
But God had given me a revelation. I was in an airport in the dream. Like, you know, a small sitting area in a small airport.
Right.
And I'm sitting in there, and I look around, and I see these other traveling ministers there. And I recognize them as traveling ministers. And a lady comes out, and she says, "Paris, France." And she comes out, and she gives somebody their tickets, and then she comes out in London, England, Hawaii, all these places, and some of them I'd been before.
Right.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking around, and now I'm the last person. And
this
she comes out.
This is a dream.
And she says, "Yeah, this is in a dream." Mm-hmm. And she says, "Iranian Airlines." Iranian Airlines. Iraqi Airlines. Persian Airlines.
Wow.
I'm looking around. Ain't nobody else. She said, yeah, this is you.
Oh, wow.
She hands me the tickets. 2 days later, I'm at camp. This is summer camp this year. Mm-hmm. That's the way I opened up the first night I shared that dream.
Right.
And 2 days later, three Iranian pastors came to see me and wanted to know if I would do an Iranian group meeting of pastors and churches
in
Toronto.
In Toronto, okay. Wow.
And so I gathered them together.
So what did you say?
The same way the dream came to pass.
Yeah, right, right.
Within
right.
3 days.
Wow.
And then
right
after camp,
right.
I held a meeting, you know,
awesome.
An open night evangelistic meeting, bringing these churches together.
Yeah.
Completely different culture, different
right.
background, different
right.
mindset. But we have to get outside of this comfort zone
right.
of who we are and what we're doing.
Right.
We need to get in. We need to get that missionary heart, that missionary call. We need to break out of the box, break
right.
out of the bubble.
Okay.
We need to reach out into what God is doing in the kingdom.
Right.
We've
got
to go into the marketplace. We got to know mm-hmm. that every man that says yes to Jesus Christ, the ministry is birthed in them.
Wow, yeah.
A gift and a call is going to be enlarged in them.
Right.
And they are ministers. They are priests.
Yes.
That everybody that's in our church
yeah.
is a priest.
Right.
And we're all priests. We're a royal priesthood and a holy nation.
Right.
That the moment you say yes to Jesus,
mm-hmm.
you know, a ministry was birthed in you.
Right.
I have to see that ministry in you.
Right.
As a visionary, I have to see that, and I have to respect you and the gift and call
right.
of God that's on your life, and I have to empower you and equip you and mentor you and launch you.
Right, right.
And until we can see all of these things begin to happen, we got to keep breaking out
right.
of this church mindset, the
right.
old-fashioned model of church,
right.
and break into what God's doing in this day and time and season.
Right. Right.
And let's begin to let God change us so we can change the world we're in.
Mm.
We can't bring change and transformation to the world as a change agent unless I let him change me.
Mm-hmm.
And before he can change me in the natural, he has to change my mindset.
Right.
And then everything begins to change,
wow.
that renewing and totally washing and renewing of your
right.
mind.
Right.
And we
got
to break these old things off of us.
Yes, we
and
do.
And move into the kingdom view that God has for every one of us.
Rick Joyner just said at Morningstar Harvest Conference that about maybe 3-4% of everybody born again were born again by crusades, outreaches, you know, all these big televisions and things we do. But 95-97% were won by another believer
mm-hmm.
in a relationship.
Come on.
So by empowering and encouraging
yes.
the church to
yes.
be the church, not
mm-hmm.
the building,
mm-hmm.
but the people that are in it to be encouraging them and inspiring them will win the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be won by these other things that we think they're won by.
Yes.
And so,
one by one.
Which means everybody is very, very important. But like 97% are won through personal family, friends, and those kind of type of
yes.
relationships there. I think it's so powerful. We're going to come right back to this amazing interview with Dr. Russ Moyer. Listen, comment below. What are your thoughts about what Russ Moyer is sharing, some of the thoughts we're talking about? We want to hear from your comments are very important to us. Comment below. Also, don't forget you can connect to us in the VFNKB community. Go to VFNKBcommunity.com. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
It seems to me that he is the one setting the stage right now. You know, a lot of people think that the president is in charge. No, he's not. A lot of people think that Congress is calling the shots. No, they're not. Or the Supreme Court, or Hollywood, or the EU, or Putin, or ISIS. No, ladies and gentlemen, none of them are in charge. Each and every one of them are simply playing their role because he is over all. He's sovereign over all. He's the one who has everything in control. They are just unwittingly serving his purpose, because even when we have someone like Pharaoh who oppresses God's people, he brings them into bondage. The reason he did that was because Stephen told us later in Acts chapter 7 that the reason this treacherous king did this to our people is because the time was drawing near for the promise that God had sworn to Abraham to come to pass. That's why.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You said one thing, and I want to go to something else, but you said that we get focused on our stuff. It's very demanding. I mean, literally almost drowned almost in things you're called to do. And you can see no reason. How am I going to be able to reach out? And it's almost another thing that I'd have to do to step out of what I'm doing to connect. And that's where we kind of, I think we, you said it, where we kind of just fall to, I'm not really building my kingdom. I'm just surviving in this thing that I'm called to do. And it's a major effort. And then you're talking to somebody else who's doing the same thing. They're like, I'm trying to get with you, brother, but I can't get with you because I'm, you know, it's all pulling and demanding on you. But when we come together, when our streams meet, and when we meet, because you're bringing all that God's doing in your stream and your what you're doing to another stream. And when those streams come together and this stream comes together, you got this huge river that begins to come. So that, but it literally is an effort. It's a huge effort.
It is an effort.
And people in your stream will think you're crazy for reaching outside your stream because they want all of you, all of your attention, all of your time. But they'll be healthier when you're healthier and we're connected to the kingdom of God. Does that make sense?
This morning, I was just with a group of pastors here in Pensacola at 6 a.m. At a prayer meeting. And there's a challenge to bring us together in true unity. And we have to let go of so many things in order to embrace the fullness of what God's doing.
Right.
And we have to base our relationships not on what the relationship somebody else had with you or with me or with another pastor. We have to be willing to lay our own works down and our own things down and our times. And we have to really take time to be with one another.
Yeah.
If we're going to really, you know, because I'm not looking for more meetings or another good meeting or another conference. Actually, today I'm not even really looking for revival. I'm looking for the God of revival. Right?
Yeah,
and when we touch Him, everybody's going to get revived. Because it's going to be completely different, and this is going to be something so special. But the boundaries have to come down, and the streams have to flow together.
Yeah.
And we have to take off all the things that would make us want to compete with one another.
Right.
Because we're supposed to complete each other. And we're on the same team, Greg. If I see you do good and you score, when you score, I score.
That's it.
Right?
Yeah.
I got to remember I'm on your
team.
And that people that I pastor or shepherd, they're not my people, they're His people.
Right.
And that they need a lot of different things. And I can't hold on to them, and if I try to, I'm going to cause myself a lot of trouble.
Right.
I have to do everything I do in life with an open hand, you know, because anything I try to hold on to actually has a hold to me. It has a stranglehold on me. And sometimes you hold on to people, and because you have that natural pastoral heart, that shepherd's heart, you want to protect them, you want to hold on to them, and you have relationship with them. But you know what? When they're ready to go, just release them, let them go.
And
let them experience things everywhere. Let's, you know, let's start to let freedom and liberty be real. And let's stop
proclaim
trying
liberty.
To protect what we have. Because you're not really protecting it. You're choking it with control. Let's start to let some things go and let it flow. And let's see what God will do. You know what? If it really belongs to you, it's going to come back.
Right.
If that person was really meant to be with you, God is going to make sure they find a way back to you.
Right.
I mean, all of these things are working together for good.
Right.
Every experience in our life, good, bad, whatever, He's going to turn it all into good. I think, for His glory.
For His glory. So I think about this, you know, that you talk about those pastor meetings that we come together for different things. I got to wear a nickname because this is what people will do. They go, what are you doing? Well, I'm doing this. And the other says, what are you doing? I'm doing this. And the other says, what are you doing? I'm doing this. I call them doo-doo meetings. There's no relationship.
I don't go to
And it's all about do. And it's like, I better be doing more than I was last time, because they're going to ask me if I'm doing less.
I want to go and pray.
Then I'm less valuable because I lost my pile of do.
Then it's going to bring us together.
Yeah.
It's prayer and true relationship.
Just caring.
And not about what we do, but who we are, and it being either working on a depth of relationship with another pastor or leader, and working in a place of prayer. You call me to me. I mean, I'll have lunch with you and things like that, and I like that. Obviously, I eat my share of pasta. But
pasta.
I'm looking a whole lot more So let's get in a prayer meeting. Let's pray and see what God's going to do. Let's pray together. We may pray different.
Okay.
We may worship different.
Okay.
But I want to pray with you.
Yeah.
Right? You know, we need to be about prayer.
Yeah.
We need to be people of prayer.
Yeah.
You know what? Every prophet, before they're really a prophet, they're an intercessor. Mm. And real prophets build altars. Mm. They build altars in their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
We all need to build an altar in our heart as a priest and as a prophet. We need to keep wood on the altar.
Right.
We need to build these altars in our heart. Wherever we go, we need to build altars. If we called into the marketplace, build an altar.
Right.
An altar is that place of sacrifice, that place of prayer,
mm-hmm.
right? That place where the fire comes down and tries you for who you are.
Right.
We need to build altars wherever we're at.
Right.
And prayer is such a meaningful part. Before you're a prophet, you're an intercessor.
Right.
And if you're a prophet, you're a priest.
Right.
And if you're a priest, what kind of priest are you?
Yeah.
You know, what are you doing with your hands?
Right.
If you're a priest, you want to lay hands on somebody to heal them?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing with your hands away from there?
Right.
Hey, you know, what are you doing with your mouth?
Yeah.
If you're really a priest, then take the coals and the wood that's on the fire on the altar and right. put it on your lips and watch what you're saying. What are you watching on television? What are you right. listening to? You know, what gates are you walking through?
Right.
What kind of coarse joking are you doing? Come on, let's purify this thing.
Right.
The fire of God is not about, the fire of God is the fire of God that
consuming,
tries you
yeah.
And yeah. gets away all that stuff and lets the gold and silver come.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if you're going to be a priest, be a real priest.
Right, right.
You know, it says we're a royal priesthood and a holy nation. Right. If you're a priest, everybody says yes to Jesus, becomes a priest. They right. become a priest, a royal priest. They need to be a priest in their home, a priest in the workplace. If you're going to be a priest, be a real priest.
Right.
Be a real priest to get out of this thing.
Yes.
You know, I see some people leaping out. Well, go ahead and leap out.
Yeah.
But you know what? For me,
yeah.
I want to be a priest. He called me to be a priest.
Right.
I want to be the kind of priest that puts wood on the altar. I want to be the one that purifies my mouth. I want to try to live holy before God the best I can. Not perfect.
Right.
Not perfect. I believe he's looking for excellence.
Yeah.
And that's the best that you can do, period. And I have to stay open to the cross, stay open to repentance.
Yeah.
Because I'm just a man and all men sin and fall right. short of the glory of God.
Right.
You know, but it's a purifying process and a holiness process, and we need to right. walk holiness.
Right.
And we need to begin to call sin, sin.
Right.
And we need to call good, good, and evil, evil.
Right.
And he's dropping the line,
yeah.
and he's calling for prophets that are going to be real and speak truth.
Right.
And you're going to see an unveiling
mm-hmm.
and a revealing.
Mm.
He's going to reveal some things in the hearts of people and in the life of leaders that are going on in the church.
Right.
Some of them know more a priest than a man in the moon.
Right.
Don't think of who it is at the pulpit. Let's right. see what kind of life they're living.
Right.
Let's see if they're really living for God.
Good.
Let's yeah. see them away from the scene. Let's see them in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Let's see what their lifestyle is like.
Yeah. Jesus talks about, you know, in Matthew chapter 7, that where people are just looking at the gifting. You know, Jim Baker wrote the book, I Was Wrong, because he saw these giftings take place, but then he'd go have dinner with them afterwards, and we think, like, they'd say the worst things. And he thought at that point that, well, I guess God accepts it because the gifts are flowing so well. And what he realized, what the book is entitled, I Was Wrong, it does matter what you do after you leave the stage, after you are who you are, who you are, you know, and that, but he says you can actually prophesy correctly. You can speak with authority of Jesus' name and things can happen. People get saved, you have mysteries, but he can say, I never knew you. So that altar you're talking about is
That's
personal,
right.
intimate relationship, abiding relationship with the one that you say you're with and you're doing it on his behalf, right? That it's with Jesus.
I started a few years ago the International Coalition of Prophetic Leaders, and I gathered together prophets
mm-hmm.
and walked together mm-hmm. in the right alignment with the apostolic community, mm-hmm. being prophetically influenced and apostolically led. Mm-hmm. As I gathered the prophetic people together, I'm also working with a group with Elizabeth Tam Fort called the International Young Prophets,
mm-hmm.
and we're talking about the important things about being a prophetic voice.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking for a pure stream. And he right now is purifying
right.
the entire prophetic community.
Mm.
He's hard at work. But not just the prophetic community, the pastoral community,
yeah.
the entire community of mm-hmm. saints. I mean, there's a purification process that's
right.
going. And it's actually going to be a good thing because the purging is going to lead to something.
I want to encourage people that, because people can see that wrong and see that as God saying I'm done with you, or you're saying that I'm condemning you, because I see people taking this season wrong, versus saying, he's just confronting you. He's saying, this is in your life. You've had it in your life. It's time for it to go.
And it's repentance. All about reconciliation and restoration and restoring you.
Always preparing, even in the midst of 70-year sentence, he was talking to Israel, and this is what I'm going to do when you come back. Here he is. He was sending them away to Babylon. Jeremiah's going, God's sending you away. But listen, in 70 years, I'm going to pick you back up, and we're going to do this, and I'm going to bless you. People are going to call you blessed. He was already talking about repentance and preparing a place. But even though they were going away for a time of discipline, he was already thinking about what it's going to be like when they come back.
Yes.
So he's all about restoration.
He's always about that. And, you know, we're having, right now, we're going through an identity crisis in the church. That's why the world is going through an identity crisis.
Right.
And God is taking the church apart and putting it back together. He's turning it upside down so it'll be right side up. Mm-hmm. And he's revealing some things right now to us and how we handle it. And we see people, particularly people in leadership, before they can be a leader, they have to be a real disciple.
Right, first.
So we need to see the discipleship walk. Are they truly a disciple of Christ?
Right.
And if we see that discipleship walk in them, and then they're leading, and something happens where they fall.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about restoring them to ministry.
Mm-hmm.
It's about restoring them to Christ.
So important.
That they would be a right disciple again.
Yeah.
And ministry is something completely
Byproduct of a disciple.
A byproduct of that.
Yeah.
First things first.
Yeah.
Let's be disciples. Let's be priests. You know, let's set the foundation.
Right.
Let's go back to the intimate, relational things of God.
Right.
Go back to the purity and the walk of the Word of God.
Right.
Let's go back to the foundational truths that we were built on.
Right.
And that the church was built on. And something wonderful.
Russ, I just feel like somebody's watching right now. And maybe you went through a time where you fell. You know, a righteous man falls seven times and gets back up again. But instead of restoring you in your personal relationship with the Lord, they restored your ministry. So you were broken. You were not fully healed. And they just said, you got to be here. You're the worship leader. You got to be here. You're the pastor. You got to be here. You're the apostle, whatever it is. And that you skipped what Russ just talked about, which is you. God loves you. He cares about you. All that came from the overflow. So now you're doing this ministry and you're broken. You're just degraded and you're isolated and you're going. I think about Kirk Franklin. He was singing. He was going from church to church and he was dying. And people just wanted his gift. They didn't want, they didn't ask him. He was addicted to pornography. He was struggling. He didn't know what was going on. But people just like, sing, do your thing, preach, do your thing, prophesy. You know, and I think about, you know, Rick Joyner and his spiritual father. They weren't even thinking about him because he was such a good prophet and he delivered. But he was struggling personally. They never thought to look past his gift and say, how are you doing?
Yes.
You know, and so I want to encourage you, if that's you, if you got somebody restored your place of position, but they didn't restore you as your position and God's a disciple, you know, pause, put everything on pause and get back to God. He loves you. He don't want what you do. I call that hoodoo. You think you are by what you do. People think you are by what you do. It's like, you know, hoodoo. But you got to get back to him because that's where your joy is. That's where your passion is. That's where your purpose is. You know, everything else, you just kind of run out and do that outside of your abiding relationship with God. I want to encourage you too, begin to abide with God again. You know, a lot of people want to abide, but they just don't have a simple plan. We have a plan for you. It's free. You go to iabide.org and request your simple plan. It'll come to you right in your email. People have requested it from countries all around the world to begin that simple abiding relationship, that intimate. He says, apart from abiding in him, you could do nothing. But abiding in him and his word abiding in you, you can ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. You'll bear much fruit. This is your whole purpose. And so I want to encourage you, go to iabide.org and join the many people around the world that requested that abiding plan. We put it together just for you to begin your walk again with God, to refresh that awesome presence of the Lord. And a lot like Russ talked about, you know, going into gratitude and thanksgiving and his anointing and getting into the glory of God. I mean, that's just very, very exciting. So go there now and request your simple abiding plan.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.